Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Everybody talking about the NCAA tournament, including the UB Bulls getting set to head for the tournament again. They're in the West region. They go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are a sixth seed, and they play late Friday afternoon, against the winner of Arizona State and St. John's. Those two teams play earlier this week on Wednesday. UB Bulls enter the tournament 31 wins, 3 losses, tied with Houston for the most wins in the country so far. They won their second straight MAC tournament and fourth title in the last 5 years on Saturday night in Cleveland. Duke, the number one overall seed in this year's men's tournament. The selection committee also gave top seeds to fellow ACC teams Virginia and North Carolina. Gonzaga got a number one seed as well. Here at One Bills Drive, quiet today. Over the weekend, the Bills continued to add to their offensive line, signing free agent offensive tackle LeAdrian Waddle, 27 years old, signed a one-year deal with the Bills Saturday, six-year veteran, been a spot starter at offensive tackle for the Patriots for the last couple of years. Today, Miami Dolphins agreed to terms with quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, a two-year contract. It's $11 million in a contract that contains incentives that could pay Fitz between $17 and $20 million. Prior to Fitzpatrick's addition, the Dolphins had just two quarterbacks on the roster, Jake Rudock and Luke Falk. The Bills' former offensive tackle Jordan Mills visiting the Houston Texans today, according to league sources. He is a former Chicago Bears fifth-round pick who played the last 3 seasons with the Buffalo Bills, starting 48 games over those 3 years. Former Bills quarterback A.J. McCarron visiting with the Houston Texans as well today. McCarron was released over the weekend by the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders have parted ways with offensive tackle Donald Penn, cutting ties with the longest-tenured player on their roster. And Haloti Ngata, one of the most dominant defensive linemen of his era, ended his NFL career over the weekend. He went to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro to reveal a sign that said, "I'm retiring from the NFL on top." 5-time Pro Bowler Haloti Ngata, 35 years old, stepping away. And the Sabres skated away with a win last night, beating the St. Louis Blues 4-3 in a shootout. Next game is Wednesday against Toronto. That is the update from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy. Joe Biscaglia is here, sports director at WKBW-TV, Channel 7 in Buffalo, in for the vacationing Steve Tasker. Joe will be with us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Joe, your 3-day appearance this week is going to give us a great setup for the draft 5 weeks away. Well, I can already tell after just 1 hour.
I mean, the draft is so much fun as it is, but the build-up to the draft is even better than the actual draft itself, because there are just so many possibilities, and fans, they cling on to one or two players.
They get a favorite.
They're like, that's my guy. That's my pound-the-table guy. But, and then if their team actually drafts them, then they're over the moon, and then if they don't end up drafting them and they draft someone they didn't like initially, then they talk themselves into it. So, that's how the draft goes. Yeah. I mean, it's the only time where it's just optimism every which way you look, because it's like, okay, that guy is going to make the team better. This is how.
Let me ask you, Joe's with us for the rest of the afternoon. You're welcome to join us as well on telephone line. We're asking the question, is wide receiver still a need for the Bills after what happened last week in free agency as they head to the draft? But I want to take you back about a week, and it was just about a week ago when the legal signing negotiation period began in the NFL, and names began to leak out, and the Bills signing names began to leak out. And it struck me late last week, Joe, that all of the names that were associated with the Bills, most of them anyway, none of them were signed by the Bills. You know what I mean? Everybody was guessing, you know, Tyrell Williams will be their guy, or this guy will be their guy. Even, you know, Matt Paradis at Denver had, like, even a camp of supporters here in Buffalo who wanted him. They didn't get him. They got probably a better center. And it's a little bit like there with the draft, too, don't you think? My buddy Mark Dalton out in Arizona keeps track of first-round mock drafts and shows. Have you ever seen his post-draft?
No, I haven't. It's like, I would love to see it.
It's like the leading number of, right team to the right player, right team, they get it right in their mock draft. It's like 2 or 3 every year. Mm-hmm. So people make these forecasts that sometimes aren't really rooted in reality.
Right. And the best you can do with it, because there's so many variables in the draft. Like with the mock draft is a fun exercise because it's fun to think about what might happen. But the only thing you can do is try and line up team needs with team philosophy with available players at the proportion value of what you're looking to draft at that point. And that's why mock drafting will never be an exact science. Right. However, I mean, it doesn't prevent people from starting to get favorites with in terms of linking team to player. And to your point, with the free agency and everything along those lines, I think there's a lot of projection involved with that, because the Bills just had so much cap room. And so Tyrell Williams is an obvious one, because he was the, finger quotes, top receiver on the board. But I guess for someone like him, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's a little bit too expensive for a guy like
that. He got paid.
He did. Yeah. He did. And For me, someone getting over $10 million a year and locked in for 4 years like he is, or potentially 2 to 3 years on that type of contract, that's a little bit too rich for my blood for a Tyrell Williams.
I see that. Yep. Hey, before we dive right back into the draft, free agency is still open, right? It's only been open since last Wednesday for signings. I'm looking at the remaining players available, and it's not a great cast of characters, but there are some notable names of people out there, Joe, and I just got to get your take. Justin Houston, just released by Kansas City a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Still available. Edge rush guy. Pretty good, pretty productive player. What do you think is going on with him?
Well, I mean, he's up there in age, isn't he? Let's see.
30-something, early 30s, I would guess.
Yeah, he's also played outside linebacker for the majority of his career. It depends on what you see him as in Buffalo. Is he your prototypical?
Yeah, I'm not talking about just for the Bills, but just guys in general.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's 30 years old. He has only missed 1 year due to injury. He played 5 games in 2016. I think what we're kind of seeing now is perhaps some teams not really running the 3-4 as much as they did maybe in the past, and I think that certainly plays into it. And these guys that are more tweener, like a Justin Houston, I mean, if he's not getting a job in Kansas City, there's not a lot of other spots out there. And for a 30-year-old edge rusher that probably wants to get paid, I mean, it makes sense. I think he'll probably go on the gamut of visits and then elect to go somewhere that has an opportunity.
Yeah, the answer to all of these questions is going to be money, clearly, right?
Oh,
weekend. But here's another interesting name. Ndamukong Suh, unsigned, still a free agent. Now, he's been a handful in a couple of NFL stops, but if somebody hits the right money target for him, he's going to sign and he'll play. And he might be pretty good next year. He was pretty good this past year, despite all of the noise around Ndamukong Suh, typically.
Yeah, I'd be up for it. He's a three-technique type of guy.
Yeah.
And bring him in there.
The money will be a problem for him wherever he goes.
He's 32.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, the money has always been the thing with him. But I like Sue. I would like his potential fit. He fit in really well. We didn't hear a peep from him last year. And yeah, he can be a little bit more versatile too, and move a little bit around on the defensive line. If they swing and miss at three technique defensive tackle, which I think is one of their biggest needs going into the draft, then I suppose Sue probably wouldn't still be out there. But you know, he's someone that I wouldn't necessarily sneeze at. He's still a good player, even at 32.
Bill said edge rush guy Ziggy Ansah in for a couple of days last week. Didn't sign, reportedly went on to New Orleans. His issues are obviously money, but also complications with his shoulder surgery, right?
Yeah, he's... Well, that is a sneaky need for the Bills, and I touched on it just briefly in the first hour. I mean, edge rusher past 2019 is a major weak spot for the Bills because Jerry Hughes and Shaq Lawson are both free agents coming up after the end of the year, and I don't think – I could be wrong. I don't think it would be their best idea to give Shaq Lawson the fifth-year option just because he hasn't done enough to produce at this point 3 years into his career. So with those two guys and Trent Murphy, the book is still out on him. They don't have much at edge rusher. So having someone to complete the rotation this year, maybe bridge the gap a little bit into 2020. I mean, I don't think Ezekiel Ansah, I think his reputation as a former top five pick is a little bit in the past now. I think he's more of a rotational guy that can come in and bring down the quarterback occasionally and get you a good 30 to 35% of snaps, which is exactly what they would need him for. And then go from there. Have him be the platoon guy for Jerry Hughes, if he's willing to accept that. That's the thing. A lot of these guys that are still free agents, they want bigger roles. But at this point in their career, it's probably better for them to be more of a rotational type.
I want to ask you about it. We're talking about the defenders and others. We'll get to the offensive players still available in free agency. Zach Brown, former Bills linebacker, went to the one year with Washington, right?
Yeah.
His 1 year with Buffalo wasn't matched in his year in Washington, and I think, I don't know, the word is out. He's a capable player. I wouldn't go much further than that on Zach Brown. He led the Bills in tackles that year, didn't he?
I was wrong. He had two years in Washington.
2 years. Okay. My bad.
My bad, too. He had 127 tackles a couple years ago. He was a pretty dependable player for Washington, but, I mean, that's the point. Like, you have inside linebackers. You don't pay those guys unless they do something extraordinary.
Nobody pays them anymore.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, C.J. Mosley, notwithstanding.
Except for the Jets, yeah.
And Luke Kuechly down in Carolina. And if Tremaine Edmonds follows on his trajectory, he's going to end up getting paid by the Bills pretty handsomely because he does something extraordinary that you don't see from any other middle linebacker. But, I mean, Zach Brown, I mean, nice guy. He's just a guy just in the NFL. I mean, he's going to get a boatload of tackles, and he'll put himself in the right spots in run stuffing. But, I mean, that is easily replaceable in the NFL, just like running back, which is why you don't see as much of an importance on doing it. And then going back to our Dave Gettleman conversation, what the heck were you doing drafting a running back at second overall, Dave Gettleman? Just saying.
Here's an interesting name, defender, Morris Claiborne. Really highly paid a couple of years ago. Now he's a free agent after spending some time with the Jets. I saw his name linked to Buffalo. I don't know if the Bills have a need, and they certainly don't have a need for a high price corner, I don't think, right?
They're not interested in him. I think they would be content going into camp with what they have now.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance they could draft one just for some bottom of the roster competition for Ryan Lewis and for Lafayette Pitts, but I know they love Lafayette Pitts on special teams, so I think he's probably good. But other than that, I think the top four is set. Tre'Davious White, Levi Wallace, Taron Johnson, Kevin Johnson. Those are the top four. And then Lafayette Pitts is your special teams guy. And if they want to keep six, then have someone come in and compete with Ryan Lewis. It's that simple.
Last thing on free agency, Joe. Do you have anybody in mind who's the most interesting, not just for the Bills, but just the most interesting free agent left out there? Anybody we haven't talked about? I'm looking over the list. Nobody really. I mean, there's no quarterbacks who interest me. I don't know.
It's picked over.
Max Williams, the tight end. I've always liked him.
I like him. He's someone that I thought the Bills might be interested in. But Tyler Kroft negates the need for a Max Williams because they're basically the same guy.
They still need a tight end.
They do, and I think they're going to draft one at some point. I wouldn't even rule out them taking one at ninth overall. Maybe we can get into that on a different day. But that's one of those needs that I don't think Tyler Kroft necessarily keeps them from drafting a pretty substantial tight end.
One more name I want to throw out there, just because he's a familiar name, Chris Hogan is available.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, again, not for Buffalo, I'm just wondering where his future lies, if anywhere in the NFL. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll get signed somewhere. Definitely not Buffalo. I mean, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
I wonder if Miami gives him a look.
Back to Miami.
Bring him back with Fitz.
With Fitz.
Yeah, why not?
Could work.
Chris Hogan, Fitz. Campaign for the tank. Cheer on the tank with Hogan and Fitz.
The Bills, as they approach the draft, now again, they signed the two wide receivers last week. Do they need more in the draft? Is wide receiver still a need for the Bills in the draft? That's our topic of the day. On Twitter, most of you say, yeah, as a matter of fact, you think it is. 70%, let me double check here, 77% say yes, it's still a need. We're asking you to talk about that and maybe interpret the question. 76% say yes, it's a need. 24% say no. Maybe you interpret it like you need it in the first round. Are you looking at just guys to add? They have 10 picks, one in each of the first three rounds, seven in the final four rounds. This is what their setup is now. I don't anticipate it'll stay that way through draft weekend. But what do you think? Do the Bills still need a wide receiver after what they did last week? Let's try a call here from Ernie in Connecticut. Hello, Ernie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going there, John? And how you guys doing?
Good. Joe's with us today.
Yeah.
He's looking for it.
Yeah, no. So I think that it is a need. Like, you kind of just hit it. It could be somewhere later in the rounds. And the reason why I say that is because we answered that, and I think that we're answering it the way that it should be, and that's positional players that can play multiple different positions.
What do you mean? How does that apply to the wide receivers?
Because that applies, I think you have to, like, take, you know, your favorite guy in the first round, you know, mine too, DK, but we can pick more slot, speedy guys, guys that can read the defense, route running. You know, that's kind of the, you know, I think the way Brian is doing his system is just multiple facets of different people. And what I was kind of wanting to hit towards was not a true number one. Mm-hmm. I think those guys are gone, in my opinion, because defenses are so much, you know, hybrid, changing, you know, multiple facets. And I think that we should pick somebody like a tight end or, you know what, best player available, honestly. You know, if that's a DN, whoever. A DT, let's get that guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best player available at number nine, Joe, is likely to be somebody from defensive front, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking this draft.
Defensive front guy, or if you think that highly of one of the Iowa tight ends. Or
now, I was going to get to that.
Right?
You really would use a ninth overall pick on a tight end?
Maybe. I mean,
oh, man, I would have a problem with that. I would.
Think about the importance of it in Brian Daboll's system, though. They had to go completely away from tight ends last year because they had nothing.
That's right.
They dressed two, which is, I mean, most weeks, Brian Daboll would like to utilize three and probably have four, maybe even five on the roster if he had his way.
Need tight ends.
Yeah,
they don't dispute that. Do they need him at nine overall?
Right, which is why it goes into what you deem to be the best player on the board at that point. And defensive line is going to garner a healthy consideration from the Bills because you have edge rushers that are available and valuable at that spot at nine. Same thing with three technique defensive tackle. I mean, there is a case to be made. I mean, if you want an offensive tackle, you can do it. I'm less compelled to do that now that they've added five pieces to the offensive line. But if you have a chance to grab a defensive lineman at that point and their best player, then do it. But tight end, I mean, that's if you can find a game-changing tight end, there not a lot of those guys exist.
And I don't think they exist in this draft either, to be honest with you.
This is a very strong tight end draft on paper.
Deep.
I suppose, but the two Iowa guys up top, I mean, they are Hockenson, his body and his athleticism combination. I mean, that if he goes 15th overall, what's the difference between 15th and 9th if he comes in and becomes a star?
Take him to 15 and pick up another third rounder or something.
That's assuming that you can trade down and get him. I'm not ruling out the Bills trading down either. I think that might be the best strategy for them and get another day two pick.
Yeah. Interesting. There was something I wanted to ask you about, too, before we got... Oh, Montez Sweat, who you saw him at the Senior Bowl. Best play at the Senior Bowl, I thought.
Right.
Did you see the note today that he had some heart condition?
Yeah, it came out. You always have to wonder about the motivation about that stuff coming out there. Like, did someone leak that to drop his draft status? Or, you know, it's one of the dirty things about the draft that I just hate because... You know, if it's not a serious consideration, then this is going to stain him as a prospect because then you're like, oh, well, you don't know if you're going to be able to get 8 years out of him. I just don't know. I think it's a little unfair that kind of stuff comes out about these guys. And Montez Sweat, I had some concerns about him. Does he play a little bit too high? Is the leverage game going to get him a little bit too much? But he's still a really good prospect, a first-round prospect. And someone, if the Bills move down from ninth overall, someone that I think would be in the conversation. But if that heart condition thing is out there, then the optics on taking someone with a you know, finger quotes, heart condition out there. Not to say it's severe or not severe or whatever. I don't know anything to be true with it. But the fact that it got leaked out, it's just... I don't know. Leaves a little bit of a sour taste.
You remember Starlo Tulele? Similar news came out about him at the combine.
I do recall.
Combine.
He has had a solid career, though.
Yeah.
He's certainly making a ton of money from the Bills.
Yeah. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Do the Bills still have a need for a wide receiver in the draft? What do you think about that? Let's go to Ron in Lackawanna. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks.
The question is for you. One receiver from Ohio State, that Campbell kid?
Paris Campbell, yeah.
And with that ninth pick overall, there's three head rushers that would like to see one of the Bills get. It would either be Josh Allen, which probably is way out of the line.
Mm-hmm.
How about Gilly and, like you just talked about, Sweat? You think that's too high for Sweat, then I take it. And I'm like you, I would have no problem with a tight end at number nine. Especially the one that one kid from Ohio State. Iowa State, I mean.
Yeah.
I'll listen to you guys. Okay, bye.
Did he say Sweat is not a potential number nine overall?
He was saying that I don't think that you said that because I insinuated that I don't know that nine would be I think nine might be a little bit high for
Sweat?
For Sweat, yeah.
Really? Okay.
I there's just too many leverage concerns for me. But, I mean, I suppose you can talk yourself in just about anything draft time. I mean, if he's 6 foot,
I don't think that'd be an aberration if he was nine.
No,
a joker.
I mean, he's 6 foot six, like 270, 275. I mean, the length is there, and we know one thing about Brandon Bean: loves his prototypes.
Yeah,
sure does.
And maybe I said you don't have to agree, but was he not? And I know the Senior Bowl isn't everything, but was he not the most impressive player at the Senior Bowl? Who played better than him down there?
I think Bradbury, the center, did.
Okay.
There was a couple of reps where I saw him on his butt. in one-on-ones. Yeah, okay. on the last practice of the week. And
okay, I didn't stay to the last practice.
Really? That's why. See how we have yeah. such
All
different...
All right, next week I'm staying right to the bitter end. I didn't see the last practice of the week. Okay, that answers that. Let's take another phone call. No, that's what you can do.
Yeah.
Take another phone call on this. Do the Bills still need a wide receiver in the draft, even after what they did last week? Jose on the line from Buffalo. Hello, Jose.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on? Joe B,
what's up?
One of my favorite people to listen to or just read your stuff because you actually tell it like it is.
Thanks, my man.
Murph and John sometimes sip the Kool-Aid and still love them, but sometimes they sip the Kool-Aid.
It's water.
It's water, okay. But nah, my thing is this. I want to see if you want to talk about this Twitter poll you're talking about. We don't need it. We don't need a wide receiver at number 9. Me personally, I want to see. I know if you want to go best player available. If you're saying best player available, you know all them defensive linemen, them top defensive linemen are going to be off the board quick. Why not grab one of them big offensive linemen that we are going to be there for years to come, and you know you put them in there. And Joe B, I got to ask you this. What's going on with that rumor about Jadeveon Clowney coming to Buffalo if we didn't get Ziggy Ansah? Just want to talk to you guys about that.
That would cost him a lot to do it. He's
tagged, franchise tagged.
That's the 9th overall pick, and that's a fat contract to get him. Hey, I mean, I'm not opposed because that's a game-changing type of talent on the defensive side of the ball, and he has certainly lived up to his billing of being the top overall pick after a slow start right at the beginning of his career. He's awesome, but I don't know. That would be a lot for Brandon Bean to give up for him, and you know, if they weren't seriously considering Odell Beckham for that 9th overall pick, if that's what it came to, would they do it for Jadeveon Clowney? I guess we'll just we'll have to see if that ever actually comes. But in terms of taking an offensive lineman at 9, my lone hesitation with that, and the one guy that you would do it for is Juwan Taylor. That is the Florida tackle. He's a right tackle, and that is, for all intents and purposes, the guy that has been linked to the Bills more often than anybody. My hesitation there is, conceptually, you say, okay, you draft an offensive lineman there, he's going to be there for the next 10 years. It's no guarantee. Like, does everyone remember Chance Warmack and Jonathan Cooper?
Yeah, I do.
Like, those were two top 10 offensive linemen, and they busted hard. I mean,
I still haven't got Mike Williams out of my head for the Bills.
Right. I mean, those are guards,
yeah,
mind you, but I mean, not everyone is going to end up coming in and being Quentin Nelson. I mean, Nelson was probably a top 5 talent last year. Now, offensive line is just so weird in the transfer from college game to pro because they're just not asked to do all the things that the pro game wants them to do, which is why you see such a heavy importance into re-signing your own, and that does give you a sniff of ability, or to sign free agents to try and fill the gaps that way. And I think that's why the Bills signed 5 offensive linemen this year. I'm not going to rule out the idea of them drafting one in the 2nd, 3rd, maybe 4th round, maybe a guy with some versatility. A guy that I love is Reisner out of Kansas State, because you throw him at tackle, throw him at guard, maybe even try him out at center, who knows. But just that versatility, maybe he can start for you. But that's not a 9th overall guy.
He might be a 2nd rounder.
That's 40. That might be 3rd rounder. I mean, those guys exist to where you can kind of bring them up. And I think that's probably the smarter play with offensive linemen nowadays, because if you swing and miss an offensive lineman with the 1st round pick, that puts you back, because that's a potential impact player at elsewhere, because it's not always a guarantee with offensive linemen anymore. It's kind of joining wide receiver as that position where it's tougher and tougher to find guys that can stick.
Hey, is wide receiver still in need for the Bills, do you think, in the draft, based on what went on last week? Give us a call. 77% of you on Twitter say yes, it is, but we'll dive into that when we return. Also, did Ben Roethlisberger fumble on purpose? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Why don't you join us? One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here. It's great to have Joe Biscaglia here as we kind of prep for the draft 5 weeks ahead of the game, the NFL draft, 5 weeks from Thursday, round 1. As much fun as last week was, Joe, I keep thinking with 10 picks, it's going to be pretty fun in the draft, too. Even though, you know, most 7 of the picks are day 3 picks, I still think that's going to be a fun day because I don't
anticipate. Potential for more.
Yeah. I mean, more in terms of number or potential for movement, I would think, right?
Yeah, more in terms of number of picks if they were to move down from nine, which I think is very much within the realm of possibilities for them.
Or just repositioning. I think,
yeah.
As usual, it appears, as we still get to know Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, just you got to be ready for anything. You got to be ready to wake up on a Friday and be ready to start reading about Antonio Brown, right? You got to be ready because they're bold. They make moves.
Yep, he's aggressive, and he loves draft picks.
Yeah.
Loves them. So if he has a chance to get more substantial ones by moving down, I don't know, 8 to 10 spots, he'll do it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We're going to get back to the wide receiver talk. His wide receiver is still in need for the Bills in the NFL draft based on a couple of pickups last week in free agency. But this came across, I guess it was late yesterday, early today. A former Steelers running back, Josh Harris, accuses Ben Roethlisberger of intentionally fumbling the ball on a play in 2014. Apparently, Harris said he was trying to spite then-Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley. A tweet that says, 2014, week 17, playing the Bengals. Haley called a run play with very little time left in the game. Ben wanted to kneel. He rolled his eyes in the huddle. He then purposely fumbles the ball. I had to recover it. At that moment, I knew what kind of person he was. Well, that's a character assassination like you don't get often in the NFL. He went on to say, Harris said later, if fans only knew how much he hated Todd Haley, that's the main reason I feel he did it, make Haley look bad for calling a run that late in the game.
Yikes.
That's a pretty serious charge, even though it's week 17, end of the game. To say that a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, intentionally fumbled, Joe, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the eye rolling in the huddle part was something.
That's fine, right?
Boy, if I mean, he did try to hand it off to the fullback for what it's worth. it did happen. But I don't know. If Roethlisberger did that, that's a horrible look for him. I mean, especially with how everything has kind of gone down with the Antonio Brown thing and, you know, them not really seeing eye to eye. And Ben Roethlisberger, it almost feels like he's getting this reputation of, you know, it's almost as though he's a coach rather than just a player. And he's kind of like invincible in the Steelers. That's the way it's being perceived with how Antonio Brown kind of described everything. And, you know, if he did that, That's awful.
We'll never know if he really did it.
Yeah, for sure.
And Harris,
he's not going to admit to it.
You know, Harris was a backup, didn't play much on the field late in the game. Steelers fans wondering why would he wait 5 years to say that? Obviously, he's piling on after all the Antonio Brown stuff. And, Joe, I just can't help but thinking that the GM, Kevin Colbert,
yeah.
His comment about 52 kids with Ben Roethlisberger, I think it sort of opened up the gates to this sort of people second-guessing Ben. He shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm.
No one should say that about any player in the NFL. He's the adult, and the rest of them are kids. That really did Roethlisberger and the Steelers, I believe, some damage.
Yeah, it's going to be a very intriguing season for this Pittsburgh Steelers team because now they basically have to start over.
Yep.
I mean, James Conner is there, and you know, they do have some pieces. Smith-Schuster is an up-and-coming wide receiver, but it all revolves around Ben. And can Ben still do it at the same level that he did? And is he going to have the locker room the way that he did in the past with all of this stuff happening around him? I mean, the one thing that the Steelers did last year, they especially when the Le'Veon Bell stuff was happening, not the Antonio Brown stuff, but they came together pretty hard. And,
yeah.
And they were solid for a long time last year, and then the bottom fell out from them at the end of the year. But if Roethlisberger is undermining coaches, undermining teammates, that's an awful look. He's going to – and not to say that he is, but if he is, he's going to have to take a hard look in the mirror with how his career is going to end and his reputation within the league.
His reputation taking some hits.
Yeah, for sure.
From a talent standpoint, strictly talent standpoint, I just have a hard time believing you can remove Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And I know Bell was extricated from the lineup last week, but you've got to miss talents of that caliber, right? Regardless of who's left, Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, yeah. And, of course, Roethlisberger. You've got to miss it if you lose that kind of talent, I think.
I like Juju Smith-Schuster. He's not Antonio Brown.
Right.
Antonio Brown is incredibly talented, and Brown doesn't even win with speed. That's the thing. Like, that's why his game is going to be good for the next 2 to 3, maybe even 4 years, even though he's 31 years old, because if you remember him at the combine, his testing was terrible. He was small, undersized, had short arms, had small hands. I mean, his 40 time was awful. His vertical was awful. These explosive scores were terrible. But because he outworks everybody, and he's got great footwork getting in and out of his breaks, he can make people look silly doing it. And that's why he's going to continue to win at the NFL level. And removing that guy from the equation, I don't care how much potential J.J. Smith-Schuster has. When you remove someone who has had 100-plus receptions in six straight years, you're going to take a dent a little bit. But it also depends on how they kind of reformulate their defense, because that's a sneaky thing that's come up on them as well.
It'll be fun to watch the Steelers. Wide receiver, still a need for the Bills in the draft. What do you think? That's our Twitter poll. We're getting phone calls on it. We'll get to those calls in a second. On the tweet sheet, we ask that question, is wide receiver still a need for the Bills? John Whitfield responds, I believe they're still looking for that number one receiver. I think Bean is blowing smoke when he says otherwise. Could see in the draft with DK Metcalf or a possible trade for Julio or AJ. Stay tuned with Bean. Anything is possible. I agree with that. Is he blowing smoke? Well, he never really said that he's not looking for a number one receiver, so I don't know where the blowing smoke comes in. But I don't know, Joe. You think they're pretty much set, right? At least in terms of what? A difference-making wide receiver? A first-round wide receiver?
If they get their hands on Julio Jones or A.J. Green, then everything gets blown up.
Come on,
yes, it
unlikely.
Is. A.J. Green only has a year left on his contract, and perhaps if the Bengals didn't foresee a future there, then maybe the best course of action is to move on and try and get something for him. Which, if that's the case, then Bean should definitely pick up the phone and see if he's available, because he brings something that none of the other receivers have, even though he's still 31 years old. But in terms of ninth overall, like I said, I wouldn't rule it out. I just, DK Metcalf just scares me a little bit at that level. And even more so than that, does Brandon Bean value taking a wide receiver that highly in the draft, especially one that lacked the production that maybe you would want out of taking a wide receiver that early in the draft? And like I said before, the offensive lineman, it's not as though it's a wide receiver is a position where it's just a smooth transition into the NFL. It's not. Oftentimes, it takes a long time.
Sure.
And if you take a wide receiver at ninth overall, he better be starting for you. I mean, let alone being one of your best contributors. That's the type of talent you're trying to take at ninth overall. And I just don't know if that type of premium is placed on that position for Bean.
In terms
of the draft, anyway.
Let's go to Tom on the west side of Buffalo. Hello, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys, if you call this a J-Squared show, nobody will get it wrong. You got John and Joe.
There you go.
Okay, welcome to the air. I got a few things if you hear me out. Okay, I don't think we need a wide receiver, number one, because of who they drafted. We don't need offensive line. They turned my draft board upside down because of what they've done. Seriously, I think they're signed Ziggy. Then I think they're going to go defensive end or defensive tackle, which is best player available. And if they do sign them, then they're still going to go best player available. But that could be the end of Shaq Lawson. And my last thing is, Andy Levitre is still out there. Could we re-sign him and add him to the throne?
What do you want to take there, Joe? Let me start by saying Levitre, I think, is unlikely because of his age and because of the additions they've already made.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't throw any dirt on Shaq Lawson's grave just yet, and maybe not at all. He's been asked about a lot, right, in the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get a guarantee of anything, but I do detect kind of a strong sense that they are interested in having Shaq Lawson here on the roster this year, no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a solid rotational piece. He's definitely come along, and he's gotten a lot better at batting down passes, even though he's not getting to the quarterback consistently, which is what they initially brought him in for.
Not on his rookie contract, which helps immensely.
Yes, he is on his rookie deal. The wonder here is that once 2019 is up for Shaq, what do you do with him? You're not going to pay him a gobs amount of money.
Right.
And which is why I think, I mean, at least gauging the trade market for him when the draft gets closer would be prudent for the Bills. I mean, I wouldn't give him the fifth-year option because he hasn't proved himself as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
However, if you can get a third-rounder for Shaq Lawson, I think you do that. And you figure out the defensive end room outside of him because, I mean, he does some really nice things. But if, let's say, they did bring in an Ansa, then that makes him expendable a bit. And he's probably not going to factor into the long term unless he's willing to take a little bit lower of a contract. And I think with defensive ends and the way they get paid on the open market, he'll probably get a lump sum. Now, the counter argument to that is if you just keep him on the roster, then you might be able to get a substantial compensatory pick for him in 2021. So there's a few different ways to play it here.
Let's go to Ivan in Buffalo. Hello, Ivan. You're on the air with us.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, so my opinion is that I don't think that the Bills are settled at the receiver position. I think that we still don't have a clear-cut number one receiver. We still have, in my opinion, even with the additions that we just made, number twos and number threes. And I think in order for the Bills to really advance, you know, offensively, they need a number one receiver. They need someone that they can count on down after down, you know, to get the tough yards. You know, and I think that we need a big receiver. So even if we don't take a receiver at number nine, I think that we should at least look to try to take one, maybe down in the first round, if they can book a trade, you know, and try to maybe pick up Paris Campbell or either J.J. Arcega out of Stanford. Those are two receivers I think that could sort of like fit the mold that the Bills are looking for. But even tight end, you know, I don't think that we sold at the tight end position either. And then if we could grab Donald Penn, who just became a free agent, I think that we should look to try to do something along that line. This way here, then I think that we're totally settled across the board, and then they can truly look at trying to take the best player available.
All right, thanks, Ivan. Ivan's eating with both hands. He wants
there's a lot of stuff to kind of unpack there. But I think the one area that I do agree with you is – the wide receiver outside of the first round. I still love that idea because then you bring in a young player. I mean, there's no guarantee that Zay Jones works out this year, and it's a huge season for him. I mean, no longer can he be the guy that just goes in, shows flashes once in a while. He has to be a consistent producer. This is his third season. It is put-up time for him, and if he doesn't, then they have to figure out life after Zay Jones. It's really that simple. So that's why I wouldn't rule out the idea of taking a receiver in the second or third round. I brought up A.J. Brown from Ole Miss.
Well, let me ask you, because I haven't got to this. Like, they need a mm-hmm. number one wide receiver, and then he starts rattling off names. Who in this year's draft are number one wide receiver candidates? And again, I acknowledge you have said you don't know if they actually care if it's a number one wide receiver, which, by the way, is an imaginary designation. But
yes, I agree.
Who fits the bill? Does A.J. Brown fit that bill? Is he a potential
I think he could be. Okay. He's got massive potential. His yards after the catch are insane. And he should get sniffs in the first round. If he doesn't and he gets into the second round, whoever gets him, they're going to be very happy.
Metcalf fits that. We know that.
Yeah, Metcalf.
Arcega-Whiteside?
Arcega-Whiteside, I think, is more of a number two in my mind. But I love him because the two things he does incredibly well. His footwork against press coverage just makes some defenders that are uptight look silly. And he also has this incredible ability to essentially become a rebounder in the end zone where he boxes out the defender.
How tall is he again?
He's 6'2". He's 6'2", 225. So he's not huge, but he has this ability of body positioning. And he boxes out the defender on these jump ball. And he's able to go up and get these contested catches, which is what makes him so appealing. Now, on the flip side, is he able to consistently win with his speed and separation? Didn't run at the combine. Eager to see what he does at his pro day. But he's someone that I would definitely consider in the second round. Or if they're able to hold off until the third round for him, I think he's someone that can come in and be a potential number two for you.
All right. Talking about receivers, still a need for the Bills after the two signings last week. What do you think? When we come back, we're going to get into NFL True or False, doing it a little bit earlier today. We got a couple of guests coming up at the 2 o'clock hour. Come on back with us. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. We're lucky to have Joe Biscaglia with us today, tomorrow, Wednesday, sports director at WKBW-TV, Channel 7 here in Buffalo, draft expert. He's demonstrated that already in less than 2 hours. You will leave here and go right into Channel 7 and anchor the
the 6 and the 11.
6 and the 11.
I will be there on the sportscast.
And what's coming up tonight? A lot of basketball talk.
Yeah, the UB women get seated tonight. They are so much fun. We were just talking in the break. They are so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Felicia Leggett-Jack is awesome. Sierra Dillard is... a maniac on the court, and she's great.
Yeah.
I love watching them play.
What time does that happen tonight? 7?
7 o'clock, yeah.
And what's your guess? What kind of seed will they get?
If I had to guess, I would say like a 10 or 11.
Okay.
But still able to do some damage.
And first and second round could be in Syracuse for them?
Well, potentially, yeah. It just all depends because it's it goes to the top seed.
Right.
And so, yeah, it all depends. But if they're close, there's going to be a large contingent
Absolutely.
Of UB fans getting over there.
Yeah. UB fans traveled well to Cleveland, too, over the weekend.
Interesting to see what they do with Tulsa.
That's a hike.
It is a hike.
That's a hike.
I was wondering because the three longest ones were San Jose, Tulsa, and Salt Lake. And Tulsa is, I think, probably the least desirable of the three. But,
never been there. I'm
yeah,
sure
me
it's
neither.
A wonderful place.
Me neither. But, yeah, I want to see. I'm sure it's going to be huge, especially with them being a six seed.
I like the Friday afternoon, late 4 o'clock, 4:30 game time for UB.
Yeah, it'll be good.
That'll be great.
Oh,
there'll
yeah.
be a lot of people cutting out of work early Friday to watch that. That'll be a lot of fun. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Joe and I go head-to-head deciding whether these comments are true or are they false. This was an NFL.com, a story about Russell Wilson. True or false, Russell Wilson will become the next highest-paid quarterback. Aaron Rodgers holds the record right now. Look, he's up for a contract. He has got the Super Bowl pedigree. I don't think he's held in the same regard as Aaron Rodgers or several others. So I'm going to say false on this one, Joe.
I don't think it matters when it comes to quarterbacks.
I mean, as far as how good they are or what they've produced.
Yes, if you are in that top five realm, then you are going to get paid. So I think it is true that he will become the next highest paid QB. The one thing I wonder is why Seattle hasn't done it yet. Because it seems like a no-brainer, right? I mean, he has come in there and been an immeasurable talent to them and has taken their roster, their team, to depths that they've never gone to before. Why isn't it done yet? Is he long for Seattle? I think that has to be considered here as well. Because you would think a team wouldn't allow a situation to get to this point. So, I don't know. I think he will be the next highest paid QB, but I think this is one of those situations where sneaky thing to monitor to see exactly how this thing all goes down.
Okay. And the Giants, you think, is that a realistic possibility?
I don't know who would do it, but it would cost a lot. It would cost quite a bit. But the Giants might just be so desperate to do it.
It might not be Dave Gettleman's play to make at some point in the near future.
Sure, fair.
Part two, NFL True or False. The Memphis Express of the Alliance of American Football signed Johnny Manziel a couple of days ago. Now it's been reported that they should start him immediately for the marquee value. I don't know. Look, I'm done with Johnny Manziel. So
he's not in the NFL anymore.
He's not in the NFL. He's barely in the Alliance of American Football. Washed out of the CFL. Why would they start him? No, false. Why would you cut him any slack? He's a name. For all the wrong reasons, by the way, he is a name.
I say true because they're 1-5. Why not? Why not? Make it exciting for fans. Get him on board and see where it goes from there. Is he going to flop? Probably. But is it going to be fun? Absolutely. It's the Ryan Fitzpatrick conversation. Miami's probably going to be really bad this year.
No, you can't lump Fitz in with Johnny Manziel.
I'm not saying they're similarly talented, but it's like a similar conversation because Miami's going to be really bad this year, probably, based on their roster right now. But it's going to be a fun brand of football. So if you're going to suck, be fun.
Yeah, no, I go false. Finally, all NFL right. True or False. And we talked about this a little bit. We went through some of the free agents still out there. This contention in Forbes.com. Ndamukong Suh is the best remaining free agent out there. Who is it? Ndamukong Suh? Is it Justin Houston? You would think would get some arguments there. Muhammad Wilkerson still available. Tight end Jared Cook. But I would say true. I think Sue's probably the best left, right? Accomplished the most.
Yeah, I'm true across the board here. I think Sue still has game left. I think if you put him in the right role and not necessarily being out there for 80, 90% of the snaps, I think he can definitely be a core rotational guy for you and give you some great snaps and bring down the quarterback too. He's done it his whole career. There's nothing that tells me that he'll be unable to any longer.
You know, when you're true across the board and true or false, Joe, that we refer to that as someone who's very gullible.
Oh, just going to take shots at me now?
No, I'm just saying.
What's going on?
Jasker and I have decided if you're true, you'll believe anything.
Oh,
we're
going to
sell you some land now, some marshland.
Oh, please do. I'm in the market.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Big hour coming up. Bottom of the hour at 2:30. We're going to talk with Mitch Morris, Bill's new offensive lineman, Mitch Morris. And coming up right after the top of the hour, Robert Mays from TheRinger.com. He's got some thoughts on who really owns the NFL offseason so far. All of that coming up when we return. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.